Well, these are wonderful hymns. Yes, they were written long ago, but their truths continue to resound today. And I trust they've encouraged your heart. And we thank you for joining us once again here at Coastline Baptist Church. Well, our message this morning will be from the book of Romans, chapter number 6. If you have a Bible, please turn with me there. Now, if you would like a Bible to borrow this morning, we do have a number available at the table at our entrance, and Andy will come with a few. Please pop your hand up. We'd love for you to follow us along this morning. Thank you, Brother Andy. And please go ahead and enjoy these visitors' Bibles. All right, anyone else this morning that would like to read on in the Word of God? Thank you, Brother. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Thank you for turning there. I hope everyone's all right this morning. And it's a blessing to have a little bit of a cooler day. It's a blessing to have some babies in our service this morning. Now, we don't mind the sound of babies here at Coastline Baptist Church. And this morning they'll remind us that a baby was born long ago. The Son of God sent to us. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Why don't we look at this one verse, and then we'll pray and ask God to help us understand His Word. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Let's read this verse out loud together on two. One, two. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, for the next few minutes, we're just going to look at God's gift to us, which I believe is the greatest gift that has ever been given. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and Saviour. Father, this is such a distracting time of year. Lord, everyone is busy, including us, Lord, and it's so easy to run to and fro and forget about that which truly matters in the light of eternity. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, which is like a light in a dark place. Lord, we pray that you would shine into our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to understand your truth. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, He would teach us this morning and apply your Word to our lives in a way that only you know how. Father, you know our hearts. Lord, you know why you have brought us here. Lord, there are no mistakes in your perfect plan for the ages. Lord, help us to be softened in our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's anyone present that has not yet received the gift of eternal life. They've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour. Father, I do pray that this would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, for those who know Christ as Saviour, Lord, help us to worship you like the wise men of old. Lord, help us not to be entangled with the affairs of this world. Lord, help us, we pray, to give you honour and glory by the thoughts and intents of our heart as we look into your word. Lord, bless this time now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, this time of year, it's a busy time. Some of you may have been looking over a list of people to send emails to and texts to, some this morning perhaps. Some of you may have done the old-fashioned thing and written a Christmas card and some greetings to loved ones and friends around this country and around the world. I heard about a lady who was late in writing her Christmas cards one year. She had simply forgotten, her mind was going. So in the last minute, she ran to the local shop, grabbed a pack of 50 Christmas cards. She had 49 people on her list, and she rushed home. She quickly signed them. She sent them off in the mail, and she sat back, relieved that she had got them off just in the nick of time. How many of you would relate with that dear lady yourselves? Well, soon after, she picked up the 50th card, the one that was left over, and she decided to open up the card and read the message inside. And to her horror, this is what the message said. This card is just to say a little gift is on its way. Now, can you imagine how much more of a panic she was in after reading that card?
Well, you know, at this time of year, it's a busy time. We like to buy gifts for one another. And as I've said already, as we prayed, you know, it's a time of year that we can easily forget what Christmas is all about. And friends, let me encourage you, the name Christ is still in Christmas. And we need to be careful not to forget the importance of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me again in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The Bible tells us very clearly, in words that God wants us to understand, that the wages or the payment for sin is death, but, I believe that's the most beautiful word in the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And friend, the question for you and I this morning is simply this. Have we received God's gift? Have we received the gift of God, the greatest gift ever given, which is the gift of eternal life? Well, if you're here this morning and you don't know, and you're not sure whether you've received Christ as Saviour, whether you have accepted His gift of salvation, let me encourage you to listen carefully this morning. Because if you do, by the end of the message, you'll know what to do. And if you are a Christian, let me encourage you to be thankful for God's gift to us, for His unspeakable gift. Now, it's interesting when we look at verse number 23, that God uses words that we can understand. God knows what a gift is, and so do we. We understand the idea of a gift. We understand what a gift means. So this morning I'm going to look at five quick lessons about a gift that will help us to understand God's gift to us. All right, are you ready to go?
Ready.
Okay, amen. So, lesson number one about a gift, simply this. When it comes to God's gift to us, when it comes to our gifts to others, very simply we need to understand that a gift is for free. A gift is for free. Now at Christmas time and other times of the year, we enjoy receiving gifts, don't we? Everybody enjoys giving gifts and receiving gifts. Now for our kids, sometimes, though, when we threaten them, if they don't behave and if they don't do well at school or if they don't do well this day, they won't get a gift. We have to admit that that's not really true, is it? Why? Because a gift cannot be earned. A gift is freely given and freely received. A gift is for free. And let's be honest, regardless of whether they are that good or not, our kids will still get the gift. And we like to remind our children when we give them a gift that, hey, this is a gift. It's not a reward. You see, a reward is something that you've earned. Maybe some of you have been hoping for a bonus at the end of the year. And as the end of year is coming, maybe you're hoping for a Christmas bonus or a reward for your year of work. Folks, that would be something that you have earned. If you have done well at work and the boss deems fit for you to receive a bonus or more money, then that is something that you have earned. That is something that you have worked for, but it is not a gift. A gift is for free. Now imagine giving someone a Christmas gift this Christmas. You're about to hand it to them and you say, hang on a second, that's $50. Now we would never do that. Why? Because it's a gift. So you see, we understand what a gift is. God understands that we know what a gift is. A gift is for free. And God tells us, notice very carefully this morning, that so it is with God's gift of eternal life. You see, eternal life cannot be earned. God's forgiveness cannot be worked for. It is God's free gift to us who are sinners. In fact, look at chapter 6 and verse 23 again. The Bible tells us this is our reward. Notice the first half. Do you realize that this is the reward that you and I deserve? Have a look at chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages or the payment for sin is death. All right, so what do we earn? What is our due reward and payment for sinning as souls in this world? What's the payment we deserve? Have a look for yourself. Death. Friends, that is what we deserve. That is our reward for sin, our payment for sin. And you and I don't deserve anything else, but God, in His love, has offered to us the greatest gift ever given, the gift of eternal life. Come with me to the book of Ephesians. If you wouldn't mind turning there, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Let me encourage you with this wonderful truth. A gift is for free. A gift is for free. It cannot be earned. Now, we understand that when it comes to receiving and giving gifts. But what about God? What about His salvation? Notice Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Come on in. Thank you for joining us. Ephesians chapter 2, that's where we are. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Notice carefully. And that not of yourselves. Once again, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, do you get it this morning? God is saying that His forgiveness, giving us eternal life, a home in heaven forever with Him, no longer fearing death and judgment, His gift to us is free. It cannot be earned. You and I thinking that we can do something good to earn God's favor is just like saying to someone today, here's a gift, but you need to pay for it. Well, that would be ridiculous. God's gift to us is eternal life. Therefore, it cannot be earned. If it could be earned, then it is no longer a gift. It's a reward. That's what we would understand. But God carefully tells us again and again and again in His word, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the word grace in verse number 8 means something that you and I don't deserve. God shows us His grace by giving to us that which we do not deserve. By grace are ye saved through what? Say it. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ saves. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I want to be very clear on this point because we live in a very religious world. And do you know what I've come to know as a Christian? That every religion is exactly the same. They all teach the one main truth, whether or not they call themselves by name and other names. Every religion teaches the same thing, that you and I need to do something in this life, work hard at it in order to gain God's favor. Whether it's giving money, whether it's going to church, whether it's being baptized, whether it's praying to an idol, whether it's dedicating our lives totally in seclusion to all others. You name it, whatever religion you look at this morning, they teach the same thing. There's something expected that God says you must do. And you must do that for the rest of your life. And only when you die, that's when you'll know if you've done enough. Friends, can you see this morning that that's not true when it comes to God, when it comes to the truth of His gift to us? You see, a gift is for free. It cannot be earned. And friend, if you're here this morning and if you think you can earn God's favor by being a good person and doing good works and trying to be the best that you can, friend, that will never make it. That will never work. Why? Because a gift is for free. We cannot earn it. You know, I lived a life before I was a Christian thinking that I could do enough good in this world to hopefully get there. You know, even people who don't believe in God will think the same thing. If I just better myself, if I just do unto others as they do unto me, but hey, we never do that, hardly ever. And if we do, well, the exception is not the rule. And so we think we're okay. But that's because we're thinking our own thoughts. We're not thinking how God sees things. And God says to us that the wages of sin is death. But, and this is the good news, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift cannot be earned, therefore it would be a reward. Well, do we all understand the first lesson this morning? The gift is free. This idea about earning heaven, working your way towards it by good works, throw that out the door. Amen. There's seven of them in this building. Choose one, throw it out the door. That's not what God says. And thankfully, that's part of the good news. You see, if a gift is free, we know also that a gift is paid for by the giver. That's our second lesson. A gift is paid for by the giver. Now, parents, if you have any doubt about that fact, just go to your bank account details this month, have a look at your credit card, and you'll be reminded that a gift is paid for by someone. Now, our children may be oblivious to the cost of that gift, and that's fine. They're kids. We need to teach them about the value of a gift, yes, but for them it's free. But for the giver, it is paid for. It is paid for. A gift is paid for by the giver. The gift is free, but it costs the one that gives. And the same truth is found in the Word of God when it comes to God's gift to us. Notice back in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And that is our main verse for this morning. Thank you for turning back there. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, the payment is made by the giver. The Bible tells us that we deserve death. Now listen carefully. When you and I sin, we earn the payment. The wages of sin is death. Romans 3 verse 23 puts it this way, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God is holy, the Bible says. God is perfect. That's why before as a Christian I didn't want to read the Bible, because I was afraid of the holiness of God. He is without sin. He is perfect in righteousness and judgment. He is morally pure. And all of us in this room and across this world have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." If you think you're the exception this morning, God says no one is righteous. No one. Now, the Bible tells us that there is a punishment for sin. That is death. The word death means separation. It does not only mean a physical death in this world, but it also means eternal separation from God in a place that Jesus described as a lake of fire. That's what Jesus said. And he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, because he didn't want anyone to go there. He wanted all to receive the gift of eternal life. Friends, we deserve God's judgment. We deserve punishment for sin. You might be here this morning. You might say, "Pastor, why is the punishment so great? Really, are we that bad?" Well, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, friends, we don't look that bad at all. What do we see? Well, we see what's on the outside. And all of us can convince ourselves that we look pretty good. Otherwise, we wouldn't have walked out the door this morning. But what does God see when he looks at our lives? Do you realize, folks, that God does not only see the actions we commit, but God sees the thoughts and intents of our heart? Can you imagine every lie that you have thought before you spoke it was accounted for by God? Can you imagine every hateful thought that you thought before you said anything, or if you ever did, was accounted for by God? In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've already committed the act of murder within. Jesus Christ said, adultery is not the physical act of immorality. He said, if you have lusted after a woman in your own heart, you've already committed the sin within. Friends, that is a frightening thing. That God sees the heart. And therefore, throughout our lives, our sins are like a tower that have no end. They have mounted up to heaven. And we must admit this morning, based upon what God can see, we have all sinned, as the Bible says, and come short of the glory, the perfection, the perfect standard of God. No matter how much you and I might try, we cannot make that standard. We've already fallen short. It's already too late. It's just like me saying to you and boasting to you, "Hey, I can jump from this side of the building to the other. Hey, I can give it a try. I can go for it with all of my heart and believe in it without a doubt. But I tell you what, I'm going to come short. There's no way that I can make it." And that is the situation that we find ourselves in as sinful beings. We are sinners. And our sin is not against one another. Our sin is against God. He is the one who created us. He is the one that gave us light. And the Bible says, for all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. But God hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Friends, we've all gone astray. For 26 years I lived my life as a non-believer, simply doing whatever I felt like doing. Now, hey, I believed in a God. Absolutely. I was quite religious. But guess what? God was in a box. And whatever I wanted to do, if God didn't fit into that picture, he went back on the shelf. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Not what the Bible says. God was a figment of my own imagination to fit around my own lifestyle. That's where I was at when I was 26. Living my own life, doing whatsoever I pleased, sinning and yes, perhaps feeling guilty over it, but only because of how it made me feel, not how it made God feel. All I cared about was myself. That is how we are in our own sinful nature. It's me, myself and I. It's Facebook, it's MySpace, it's iTunes, it's all about me. Isn't that right? That's the world, my friends, the world of sinners, which you and I are. We are sinners, my friends. And we need to see ourselves as God sees us. We are in big trouble. If you and I die in our sins, we will be separated from this earth and separated forever from God in a place of horrific judgment. That is the bad news. But, friends, the good news is this. Do you remember the word but? God says you need to know this. I don't want you to die without receiving the gift of eternal life, God says. For the wages of sin is death. That's a fact. There is no way around it. You and I have an appointment with death. And the Bible says, for it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. But before that takes place, you and I have the opportunity to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. Now back to our second point. A gift is paid for by the giver. Friends, the good news is this. God made a way so that you and I can be forgiven. Now how could that be possible? Friends, you and I have sinned against God. We deserve his judgment. And the wonderful news this morning is that God made a way so that you and I can be forgiven. He did something that the world could never imagine. But imagine this for a moment. Just an illustration. You and I are standing in a courtroom. The judge has already made his verdict. We are guilty of sin. There is no hope. There is no way out. The verdict has been declared. We're doomed. Nothing we can do. No second appeal. Eternally doomed. But suddenly, we see the impossible take place in front of our eyes. Imagine that judge upon his seat in the courtroom. He comes down to your level and mine, and he turns around and says to you and I, which today would never happen. He says to you and I, you are guilty, I am innocent. And we say yes. But because I love you, I'm going to choose to pay for your punishment. I'm going to pay the punishment due for your sins. Therefore, you as a guilty sinner, as a guilty criminal before God, can go free. And I will be the one to pay the penalty. My friends, that is what the Bible tells us. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. At Christmas time, we're reminded of how the gift came to this earth. The Bible tells us that Christ was born of a virgin. What does that mean? Well, very simply, children, man and woman did not make Jesus Christ. It God came to the earth in the form of a man miraculously, in a miraculous way, so that he may live a sinless, spotless life. 100% God became 100% man and remained 100% God. And there on the old rugged cross, he shed his holy, sinless blood. Why? To purchase our salvation. To pay in full for your sins and mine. Friends, that is the good news of Jesus Christ. That Christ died, was buried, and he rose again from the dead. so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, he purchased our salvation. He did something that no one else could ever do. Look, I couldn't pay for your sins, even if I tried, because I myself am a guilty sinner. You couldn't pay likewise for mine. But who is the only one who can pay that great sin debt? It is the sinless Son of God that was slain for you and I. Friend, if you were the only sinner upon the face of this earth, Christ still would have come and died to pay for your sins. Can you see something special this morning? The gift is paid for by the giver. It is undeserved. It's not a reward. God's gift to us is eternal life. You might say, Pastor, why would God do such a thing? Why would he himself suffer as the creator of the universe for the ones he created to be sinless who chose to sin? We deserve the judgment. We deserve the blame. He is innocent. He is perfect. Why would he do such a thing for us? Why would he experience the humility of the cross? Why would he allow himself to be whipped and to be smited and to be broken and to be bruised? Why? Why would God allow his own creation to reject him and to crucify him? Well, John 3:16 tells us very clearly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, we understand what a gift is. Now, don't get distracted this morning. Look up here. We understand what a gift is. Why do we give gifts to one another? Now, it's not because we deserve it. It's not a reward. Why do we give a gift? Who can tell me this morning? What are we trying to express in a gift? That's right. Love. A gift is given out of a care and a thankfulness and a love for the one we give to. And the Bible tells us, herein is love. Friends, this is a love that you and I don't know. This is the love of God. The unconditional, unimaginable, unspeakable love of God. For herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. What a wonderful word. The full payment for our sins. Friends, God commendeth or showed his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That is the love of God. Can you see how much God loves you this morning? Friends, if you've never received the gift of eternal life, this may be a strange thing to you, but it's not to God. Do you realize that the last words that Jesus Christ spoke on the cross were these? It is finished. Do you realize that that means a personal transaction has been made? A financial transaction? What was Jesus Christ saying? He was saying that your sins and mine were paid in full on the cross. Amen. Once and for all, he paid with his holy blood. The Son of God, the one who became sin for us, who knew no sin, he died. He paid for you and I. See, a gift is paid for by the giver. And Christ paid it all. And now he is risen, my friend. And the question is this, listen carefully. Christ is waiting for us. What will we do with Jesus Christ? What will we do with the gift of eternal life? Well, that brings us to the third truth. Is everyone okay this morning? All right, are we keeping up? The third truth is this. Not only is a gift for free, it's paid for by the giver, but thirdly, a gift must be received. A gift must be received in order to possess it. Now, here's an unimaginable thought. And I don't know if any one of us has ever experienced it before, but imagine if you had a big, bright, shiny gift with a giant bow on top, and you came to one of your children, and it was Christmas time, and you said, Merry Christmas, here is your gift, and imagine that child turning away. Or at least stopping and looking at it strangely and going, I don't know if I want to take that. Now, I dare say none of us will see that this Christmas. It's unrealistic. It won't happen. But what about God's gift? You see, if in order for you and I to inherit eternal life through Jesus Christ, in order for you and I to obtain his gift of forgiveness, a gift must be received. So you imagine that little child looking at that gift. If that child never received it, here's a question. Let's get thinking this morning. It's a very hard question. If that child never received this gift that you're offering, would that gift ultimately be theirs? Yes or no? No, it wouldn't. They may know what it looks like. They may value what it means. But if they never receive the gift, it will never be their own. Is that correct? Friends, exactly the same is applied to God's gift to us. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is not enough to know what Jesus has done for us. It is not enough simply to believe, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, he died for my sins. That's wonderful news. No, that's not enough. In fact, the book of James tells us that it's good that you believe. The devils also believe and tremble. Look, they know the facts. They were there. They knew what Christ had done on the cross. They knew that Christ is risen. Knowing the facts is not enough. For many years, I knew the facts. Look, I prayed to Jesus every night. I prayed to Jesus, Mary every morning. I knew the facts. I was trying to earn my way to heaven. I'd never received the gift of eternal life. I'd never accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Well, what does the Bible say? How can you and I accept God's gift this Christmas? Well, turn with me to the book of Romans. Thank you for your attention this morning. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Now stay with me. Don't miss this third crucial point. A gift must be received. Friend, maybe you're like me. I used to go to church every Easter, every Christmas, and hey, that was enough. Surely God would accept me into his favor when I die. I was just being religious. I'd never received the gift of eternal life because I didn't know where I was going when I died. Friend, where would you go if you died right now? Have you received Christ? Do you know that you have eternal life? Well, notice with me, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Is everyone there? Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Listen carefully. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What God is saying, my friend, is there needs to be a moment in your life on this earth that you make a choice to receive Christ as your personal Savior. It's not enough just to know about Jesus. It's not enough just to go to Sunday school. It's not enough just to go to church once in a while. It's not enough just to claim to be a Christian and wear a cross around your neck. The question is, have we confessed him as our Lord and Savior? Jesus Christ said this, listen carefully, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. We need to repent of our sins. Repentance means to turn away from our sinful, wicked ways, to admit that we are a sinner before a holy God, and then to confess Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Friends, we need to believe that he died for our sins, that he paid in full, and that he rose again from the dead. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, shall not enter in, shall perish. We need to believe in who Christ says he is. Friends, he paid once and for all. He is risen today. Friends, he is in our midst. Jesus Christ, what is he doing in your heart this morning? Maybe this is the first time that you've heard of God's gift of love to you. Friend, Christ is waiting. What will you do with his gift? A gift must be received. And the Bible tells us, notice in Romans 10 and verse 13. Are you still there? Romans 10, my favorite verse in the Bible. Verse 13. Let's read it together on two. One, two. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, is there anything in that verse, yes or no, that says we need to work to accomplish some religious feats to be saved? Yes or no? No. It's simply by faith. By grace are you saved through faith, repentance of sin, and faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Bible says the moment you and I
trust in Jesus Christ alone to save us, and we call out to Him to forgive us and to save us once and for all, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Shall be saved. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Saviour? I still remember the day. It was the 7th of May, 2005. I was visiting my parents at Easter. Look, I was religious. I went home for Easter and I went to church with them at Easter time. Then I went back to Sydney and lived my own life again. Then I came back for Mother's Day. And my mum and dad, who had already received Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour, were starting to talk to me about God, and I was thinking, what on earth has happened to them? Something weird has happened. They're talking to me. Now, we used to go to church, but now they believe what they're saying. Now they're talking as if it's a matter of life and death, and I'm thinking, what kind of cult have they gotten themselves attached to? I need to look up this thing. So I went to church at Easter. I went back to Sydney. And after I'd been in a church like this for a few months, hearing the gospel, the good news of God's gift to us, I went back for Mother's Day. And my mum said this, James, are you saved? And I said, sure I am. I've always believed in Jesus. She said, well, look, that doesn't mean you're saved. Has there been a time that you received Him personally as your Saviour? And it was that evening, the night before Mother's Day, on the 7th of May, that I realised that I was lost. I was one breath away from eternal judgment. I realised how lost I was in my sin. I realised I'd never received Christ. But then an overwhelming joy flooded my heart. As I went to my bedroom, I realised not only was I one breath away from judgment, but I was one breath away from salvation. Amen. And the gift of eternal life had been there all my life. I just never knew it. No one ever told me, and if they did, I wasn't listening. And it was right there, and Christ was waiting for me. He paid so long ago. He had risen. He had loved me with an everlasting love. And that night I made a choice, friends, to say sorry to God for my sins and to turn to Christ. And in my own words, the best I knew how. There are no secret words that you can pray. Friends, the best you know how to call upon Christ, to believe in Him by faith and ask Him to save you. And that was the night eternal life flooded my soul. That was the night the weight of sin was lifted off. That was the night I was forgiven once and for all. You see, a gift is a gift. If someone extends a gift to you and you accept it, do you need to ask for it again, yes or no? Isn't that ridiculous? People live a religious life today thinking they need to pray and ask Jesus every day in church to save them and to give them eternal life. No, that is a rejection of Christ. That is just someone trying to earn their way by their own prayers and by their own good works. Jesus said, saved once and for all, forever. In fact, He put it this way, you must be born again. Just like your physical birth, there must be an instantaneous moment in time that you choose to respond to the Word of God and repent and put your faith in Christ. And upon that moment, God does the work. We don't work for salvation. We call upon Him in desperation and faith. He does the work to save us. He saves us from our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far will He remove our transgressions from us. Friends, Christ's gift is eternal life, forever. That's what it means. But the real question is, have you received it? Have you received it? Until May the 7th, I never have. I was in church plenty times, but I'd never received Him as Saviour. And this leads me to our fourth point. Now, don't get distracted. Listen carefully. And this is probably the most serious lesson to learn. That a gift can be rejected. A gift can be rejected. Friends, if you were offering a gift to someone and they did not want to accept it, are they free to make that choice? Yes or no? A gift cannot be given in compulsion. You can't force someone to accept it. Friend, you can purchase it with a great price. You can wrap it with great love and attention. You can have the greatest desire in your heart for that one. But if they refuse it,
You cannot force it upon them. Friends, God will not force us to accept His gift of eternal life. He will not force us to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He has paid the price in full. He has loved us more than you can know. But He cannot force His gift upon you. You and I have a choice. And we can choose to reject God's gift. We can choose to reject His gift. Friends, if you never receive Christ as Savior, you will enter eternity empty-handed. Your soul will not be forgiven because you never accepted His forgiveness. You will stand there in your sin. The Bible tells us that heaven and earth will flee away from the face of a holy God. And if we die in our sins, we will stand before the God of the universe, the holy God of justice. And there will be no plea. There will be no advocate by our side to plead our case. We will be dead in our sins and trespasses. And we will bear the judgment for our sins that are due. And there will be only one verdict, my friends. When we breathe our last breath, Jesus Christ will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Friends, God's gift is not like a Christmas gift. This is serious business. God is not playing games with our soul. He paid too great a price to play games with you and I this morning. A gift can be refused. The Bible says in the book of the Revelation, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Look at when you repent of your sin and you put your faith in Christ the Savior and you accept His forgiveness and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, your name is written down in another book. Your list of sins that you've committed is washed away in the blood of Christ. And your name is written down in the book of life. So when you and I stand before God and before His holy throne and His holy angels, the advocate Jesus Christ will say, "Justice has been done. I have paid for my sins. They have received me." Innocent. Innocent. That is for the child of God. But the one who rejects Jesus Christ will be guilty. Guilty. Friend, have you received God's gift? You see, a gift must be received, yes, but it can be rejected. Friend, you might be here this morning. Perhaps you've heard this before. And you haven't accepted Christ yet. To wait is just as much an offense to a person when we say, "No, I think I'll accept that next year. No, I think I'll unwrap that next year or the year after. Look, I'm not ready yet." And you think about how that person would feel. But what about God? What about God who died for you? You see, the Bible says that God is long-suffering. You can reject Him over and over and over again, my friend. But also, God is not mocked. He is long-suffering. He will give us more opportunities to be saved. But if you and I continue to say, "No, no, no, no," one day God will say, "That's enough. Now it's my turn to say no. Now it's my turn." And you've hardened your heart so much, there's no more opportunity for salvation. The door is closed. Jesus Christ said before the religious Jews, "If you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit of God, that sin will not be forgiven you." What is that blasphemy? That's saying no to the Holy Spirit when He points to our hearts and say, "You need to be saved today. It's you. God died for you." And my friend, I'm thoroughly convinced that when we say no to God's gift for so long, our hearts grow harder according to the Word of God. And the hardness of our hearts takes us into a place where God now says no. There's no more opportunity. There's no more time. Look, you may be a young person here this morning and you may be thinking about your eternal destiny. Hey, you may have even prayed a prayer in the past. You may have even said, "Jesus, save me." But it wasn't in your heart. You just did it religiously. Hey, everyone wants to go to heaven. No one wants to go to hell, but not everyone wants Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not everyone wants Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. So you see, a gift can be rejected. Friend, where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? I thank God for His long suffering in my life. I thank God I didn't die and perish what I deserved, because He allowed me to hear this message again and again. Friend, if God is drawing you to Himself to accept the greatest gift ever given today, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Friend, a gift can be rejected. And lastly, and this is for the Christian here this morning, a gift results in thankfulness. Thank you for your patience. We'll close in a moment. If you are a Christian here this morning, and you know that you have eternal life because you have accepted Christ as Savior, friend, a gift results in thankfulness. You know, I can't remember all the gifts that have ever been given to me. I'm sure it's the same with you. But what I can remember is the one who gave it. Is that right? You may not be able to remember what that gift was, but you remember the love of that one who gave it to you. And you love them in return. If we have truly accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, then we will love the one who loved us so much. The Bible tells us, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. If we are a Christian, then we're going to be thankful for how long? Just for that day He saved us? No. The gift of God is eternal life. We're going to be thankful forever. For all eternity we will praise Him. For every day we will thank Him. Christian, are you thankful this Christmas? You know, it's so easy to get entangled with the things of this world and to get distracted at this time of year. Are you thankful that salvation came to the earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, who was born, whom we remember this day and worship Him as our risen Savior? Are you thankful? Are you thankful? The Bible tells us we ought to be thankful. The Bible tells us we love Him because He first loved us. Friend, what are you in love with this Christmas? Are you just excited about some gifts that are waiting at home for you? Friend, what a pathetic replacement for the gift of Jesus Christ. You and I both know that that gift will fade away in due time. But the love of God will never fade. The joy of Christ continues with us, not just this day, but tomorrow, the day after. For the born-again Christian, every day is Christmas Day, amen? Every day is a day of rejoicing. Every day is a day. Look, I remember the day that I woke up the next day after I got saved. I tell you what, I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. I knew I was going to heaven when I died. I knew that I found Jesus Christ and He found me. I knew the purpose that He created me had been completed. And there was a joy in my heart that never faded, that never dimmed, that never went away. And the next day I woke up knowing the same thing. And the next day and the next day. Yes, as Christians we have ups and downs, but there is a joy sealed in our soul that can never be removed. And sometimes we grow a little bit cold. And we need to come back to spending some time with Christ. Spending some time with our Lord in prayer and let Him speak to us through His Word and continue closely with Him. Friends, it's an easy world to get distracted in. Do you love the Lord? Will you remember Him? Will it be a Christ Christmas or will it be a carnal Christmas? The food might be waiting. The gifts might be waiting. But hey, what about Jesus Christ? Is He the focus of our hearts? Christ. Let me encourage you, Christian, to honour the Lord, especially at this time of year. Let me encourage you to praise Him. Let me encourage you to take the focus of gifts from our children, and let me encourage you to have them pray and thank Him for His gift to us. And that this gift is just a reflection of God's greatest gift. As we close, friend, the gift is for free. Can't earn it. A gift is paid for by the giver. Christ paid it all on the cross. His love wrapped the gift that is offered to you. He is risen. He is waiting. A gift must be received, but it can be rejected. Friend, what will be your choice this day? You might say, Pastor, I'm not ready. To be honest, the answer, the truthful answer to that statement is more often than not, I don't want it. That's how Christ sees it. There's no such thing as not being ready. If you understand the gospel, which Jesus said children can understand, if you understood the message this morning, then you're ready. The question is, will you put your faith in him today, once and for all?